الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين على أمور الدنيا والدين والعاقبة المتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وصلى اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. إن شاء الله تعالى, this is our second session where we were learning about the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah. Last week when we started, I gave a general introduction to tafsir studies and how tafsir was studied and some of the rulings regarding it. Today, inshallah ta'ala, I hope to start, and inshallah we will start at the beginning verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. And before I do, what I want to talk about is why I chose to go through Surah Al-Baqarah and some of the virtues that this surah has. Now we know that the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a blessing sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a guidance to mankind. It is a book that in it has our salvation, if we follow it and act upon it, and if we don't, then this is a consequence you must face. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a guidance. It guides to that which is correct and upright. يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ This book, it guides to that which is the most upright. Now, specifically Surah Al-Baqarah, one of the reasons I chose it was, number one, it is a surah that it contains almost everything. If you want tawheed, the surah talks about tawheed. If you want ahkam and rulings, the do's and don'ts, the prayer, the fasting, this surah talks about it. If you want to learn about hajj, this is the surah to go to. If you want to learn about the people of the past and the stories, this is the surah that you will go to. If you want to learn more about the kind of people there are with regards to the guidance that is being sent down, this is the surah that you want to go to. So one of the reasons why I chose it was because while we are going through these verses, we will be able to expand upon our understanding and knowledge of the deen in general. So when we go through the stories of the Banu Israel, you'll get more information about the people of the past. What did they do? What did they do right? What did they do wrong? What did Allah say about them? You will learn more about the prophets. Prophet Adam is spoken about in the surah extensively, Prophet Ibrahim. So your information and your knowledge regarding these things will increase. But also, a lot of rulings are mentioned in the surah, which is why if your understanding of the prayer, your understanding of hajj, your understanding of fasting, you will learn a lot. Also, many other rulings related to divorce and marriage and the orphans, rulings related to financial transactions, interest and riba, even to the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah speaks about when someone is borrowing money and the rulings related to that, loans. So it's a surah that is really extensive in the subject it talks about, which is why I wanted to go through the surah and hopefully we can all benefit inshallah ta'ala. This is why some scholars have said that this surah, if you don't see the overarching theme, the general maqsad and objective of the surah, it would look like it's many different chapters put together. And regarding the overarching theme of Surah Al-Baqarah, I'll speak about it in a bit, but let's speak about some of the virtues and the ahadith related to this that the Prophet ﷺ spoke about. In one narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, take hold of Surah Al-Baqarah, recite Surah Al-Baqarah and take hold of it, فَإِنَّ أَخْذُهَا بَرَكَةً For taking hold of it and acting upon it and reading it, it is a blessing. وَتَرْكُهَا حَسَرَةً And leaving it off is a grief. وَلَا يُبْطُلُهَا السَّحَرَةً وَلَا يَسْطِيعُهَا السَّحَرَةً And the evil magicians and evildoers will not be able to harm you if you're constantly reciting Surah Al-Baqarah. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that on the Day of Judgment, as we know, the Qur'an will be brought as a witness. And the Qur'an will either be against you or for you. وَالْقُرْآنُ حُجَّةً لَكَ أَوْ عَلَيْكَ And the Prophet mentioned in narration that when the Qur'an is brought forth, it will come as a witness on behalf of those and as a shafi'ah, as a interceding or intercessor on behalf of those who used to recite it. So the Qur'an will be interceding on your behalf if you used to recite it. And the Prophet then said that will be being led by Surah Al-Baqarah. By Surah Al-Baqarah, another narration by Surah Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran, which is the third surah in the Qur'an, the surah after Surah Al-Baqarah. Now, from here we learn again, there is a special emphasis on this surah. We know that the greatest single verse in the Quran is Ayatul Kursi, which is in Surah Al-Baqarah. We know the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever recites the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, it will be sufficient for him, for the person's protection. We know that the Prophet ﷺ said that the shaitan does not enter into a house where Surah Al-Baqarah is recited. So there are so many different virtues that one can relate to this particular surah, which is one of the reasons why I chose this. So now, what I urge all of you to do is while we go through the tafsir and the explanation of these verses and these ayat, that you try and memorize a portion every week. We have this session once a week, so during that week, maybe if you can try and memorize the portion that we have read or we have explained, and by the time, inshallah ta'ala, if Allah wills, when we are done with this tafsir, then you have memorized Surah Al-Baqarah, which is a great thing. And really, it's an amazing achievement for not just to memorize the surah, but to understand it as well. It has been narrated by Imam Malik that Ibn Umar, Abdullah Ibn Umar, the son of Umar al-Khattab, when he learned the surah, that it took him 8 years. And another narration mentions 10 years. So again, it shows you that the way the Sahaba studied the Quran is very different than the way we do it. They wouldn't just memorize the statements. They would truly study the Quran and try to act upon it. Tayyib. So, why did I choose Surah Al-Baqarah? Because of its virtue and also because of how many of its content. We will be learning about different subject matters, which again is very good for the person that wants a general understanding of the religion. Now, before I enter into the explanation of the surah and the first ayat, I want to mention a few things. One is that, Ikhwani wa akhwati fillah, my brothers and sisters, that the Quran, it has a maqsad. Every chapter, whether it is a small chapter like Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, which consists of just three verses, or it is a larger chapter like Surah Al-Baqarah, which consists of 286 verses. Especially in the larger surahs, one might think that they seem to be talking about different things. One moment we're talking about Adam, then about Ibrahim. One moment we're talking about the people of Bani Israel, then we're talking about the rulings of fasting. And you might think that there is no overarching theme, but there always is, and some scholars have dedicated works to just look at the overarching theme of the surah. What do all of these different things have in common? Now, one famous mufassir that is known for doing that before entering into the surah is Tahir ibn Ashur in his tafsir At-Tahrir wa Tanwir, the Tunisian scholar. He will always mention the hidayat of surah, or the maqasid of the surah, the objective of this chapter, before embarking on the actual tafsir of the ayat. And there are other scholars that did so as well, and there are some contemporary works. Sheikh Tahir ibn Ashur was technically contemporary, but yes. Al-Muhim, so what is the maqsad, or the objective, or the overarching theme of Surah Al-Baqarah? Now, Ikhwani fillah, it can be summarized into, or it can be said it is the obedience of Allah, the importance of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the danger of disobeying Allah Almighty. Now, we know this Quran is here to guide us, and we must take this guidance on board. We must take it and act upon it, and in that will be our salvation, and we will live a good life in this world and an even better one in the next. If we don't act upon that which is revealed to us, then we will go astray. This point of obedience and a willingness to accept the message and act upon it is what this surah is going to teach you. Now, you can immediately see that in the beginning of the surah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the three types of people there are. In the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk about the believers and their descriptions. First, Allah says that this Quran is a alif la mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This Quran is a guidance to those who have taqwa. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the people in relation to this guidance that came from Allah into three categories. You have the believers that will be mentioned in the following verses. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in the unseen, وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ, establish the prayer, etc. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that's the first group, the people that accepted the guidance and believed in it, that is one category. They obeyed. Then you have those who didn't obey, which are of two categories, the actual disbelievers, those who denied it openly, and they are the kuffar. And then after that, Allah speaks about the hypocrites and the munafiqoon that acted as if they obeyed, but deep down didn't. So already you're learning about the categories of people in relation to the guidance. Did they accept it and obey, or did they not? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the story of Adam alayhi salam. And now, why is that significant? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts speaking about Prophet Adam, and إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَ, when Allah mentioned to the angels that he's going to create Adam, this story is a story of obedience. Iblis refusing to obey Allah and then being damned and cursed. Adam and Hawa disobeying Allah, and then what they did to gain forgiveness. Again, the theme is obedience and disobedience. So as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, this is an example of your father, Prophet Adam, who made this mistake of not listening to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah told him to not obey or listen to the shaitan. Now Adam, of course, then immediately repents to Allah, which is a lesson that we can take. Sometimes you will make mistakes and you will not obey. What you do what your father Adam did. As we move along, Allah then tells us about a ummah, a nation. Not just a person, but a whole ummah, a whole nation, the nation of Banu Israel, who collectively, or if you will, there are of course good people in them, but as collectively disobeyed so many times. And Allah tells us, when Allah starts talking about them from the surah, Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوفي بعهدكم وإياي فرهبون وآمنوا, when Allah is telling them, believe بما أنزلت, believe in that which has been revealed to you, ولا تكونوا أول كافر به, don't be the first one that denies it. And then Allah says to them, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ, establish the prayer and give charity. Again, commandments which they will disobey. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them how they disobeyed. And then there is a story that talks about their relationship to guidance and revelation. And that is the story of the cow. Surah, this story that is talking about the cow is named, this whole chapter of Surah Al-Baqarah, which means the cow, is named after that one incident. What's the relation? This surah speaks about so many things: fasting and hajj and faith and iman and tawheed and prophets. Why was it named after this one incident? Because it is in the namudij. It highlights this theme, which is of an acceptance of the revelation and then obeying it. Because when Prophet Musa, who was getting revelation from Allah, tells his people, the Banu Israel, that there will be a guidance, and they go to Prophet Musa and they tell them that there was a person that was killed. Again, when we get to those verses, I will speak to them about them in detail. But the story goes, they go to the Prophet for guidance. Someone was killed and they wanted to find out who the perpetrator was. They go to the Prophet. That's very good that they went to the Prophet. Then the Prophet gives them, Prophet Musa gives them a commandment. اذبحوا بقرة, slaughter a cow. That's a commandment. What should they have done? Do as the Prophet tells you. Do as the wahi, the revelation tells you. Obey. Instead, what do? They start saying, أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوًا, are you taking us as a mockery? And then they kept on pestering and asking difficult questions, and then more detail. And again, something that our Prophet warned us about and said, among the reasons why the people that came before you were destroyed was كَثْرَةُ مَسَائِلِهِمْ, they are many questions, especially the kind of badgering questions that wasn't them seeking knowledge, but more so bothering the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and just the Prophet Musa, and just keeping asking him unnecessary questions and unnecessary details. As that story goes along, what does Musa tell them? He says, فَفْعَلُوا مَا تُؤْمَرُونَ. He pleads with them, do what you're being told, obey. And then they keep going and keep going. Now, as the story of the people of Banu Israel progressed in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the end, they were an example of a nation, a ummah, that Allah blessed. But then, as soon as they disobeyed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away that blessing. And they became among the lowest of the low. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us another example, and that example is the example of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now again, what does Allah say about Prophet Ibrahim? وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. When Allah trialed and tested Ibrahim with commandments, فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ, then he acted upon them and completed them and obeyed. An example of one who obeyed. Again, the theme of this surah is obedience. Look at Prophet Ibrahim and how he made him an imam, a leader, one that is loved by Allah. He ended up becoming the Khalil of Allah, the close companion of Allah, because he obeyed. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him to build the Kaaba, he builds the Kaaba. When Allah tells him to leave his family in the desert, he does. When Allah tells him to slaughter his son, he's ready to do it. He obeys. Ta'a and istijaba. Then, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us these examples, the categories of the people in relation to the guidance they are receiving, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Adam as the first example, and Iblis, and then tells us about the nation of Banu Israel, then tells us about the pinnacle of hidayah and guidance and acceptance and ta'a and submission, Prophet Ibrahim. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about our commandments. This is where the commandments in Surah Al-Baqarah start. And interestingly enough, one of the Salaf said that Surah Al-Baqarah fiha alf amrin wa alf nahyin wa alf hukmin. There are 1,000 commandments and 1,000 prohibitions and 1,000 verdicts in this surah. So this surah is filled with things that we must do, the do's and don'ts. So after Allah preparing us and telling us of those who obeyed and how they were blessed, and those who didn't obey and how they were destroyed, Allah then tells us, okay, so here are your commandments, starting with Tawheed. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, Surah 163, says, وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدْ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّهُ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. And the one who is worthy of your worship, your Lord is one, the most merciful, especially merciful to the believers. And the following verses talk about Tawheed. Later on in Surah, in verse 177, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the other commandments, the prayer and the zakat. And then at verse 183, Allah speaks about fasting. After that, Allah speaks about Hajj. After that, Allah speaks about matters related to the family, how to get married, rulings of divorce, etc. Then Allah speaks about financial transactions and their rulings. All of these, what do they have to do with the overarching theme? Well, these are do's and don'ts. Do what you're being told. فَفْعَلُوا مَا تُؤْمَرُونَ. Obey and stay away from the prohibitions. Until the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then finally gives us another example of the people that flourished in their obedience. And because they obeyed, they were forgiven. آمَنَ الرَّسُولِ وَأُنْزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ. The second last ayah of this verse is talking about our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions and how they had faith and believed and acted upon it and obeyed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing we have shortcomings, said the final verse in the surah, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden anyone with that which they cannot do. You will have shortcomings. You will make mistakes. If you do, Adam is your example, and Hawa, repent to Allah. If you have shortcomings, then remember Allah will never burden upon you that which you cannot bear. This is a general theme, a theme of obedience. I spent way too much time on that because I was hoping to start the tafsir of the surah today, inshallah ta'ala. So now you know. So I want you always to keep that in mind. When we are talking about any aspect of the surah, this is the theme of the surah, is ta'a and istijaba. Barakallahu feekum. Tayyib. Inshallah ta'ala, we're going to start the tafsir now. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. Dhalikal kitabu la rayba fihi hudan lil muttaqin. Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaibi wa yuqimuna as-salah. ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. الله سبحانه وتعالى starts by saying بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, I start my recitation, my learning, I start with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking blessings and aid in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, Ar-Rahim, the especially merciful to the believers. These two words, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, are among the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahman means the most merciful, that showers his mercy upon all of his creation, whether they are believers or non-believers, whether they are animals or humans, it doesn't matter. Allah showers his blessings to upon all of his creation. And this is what the term Rahman means. Ar-Rahim is more specific. It means especially merciful to the believers, which is why Allah says in the Surah Al-Ahzab, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful to the believers. Some other scholars have said, Ar-Rahmani Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman, he is the one that shows mercy and is the most merciful. Ar-Rahim, the giver of mercy. So the first name, Ar-Rahman, is talking about who Allah is, whereas Ar-Rahim is talking about what Allah does. Ar-Rahman, the one who is the most merciful. Ar-Rahim, the one who gives mercy and shows mercy. And Allah knows best. Al-Muhim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You will find this in every single chapter of the Quran. In the beginning, it starts with the Basmalah. The Basmalah, this is what Bismillahir Rahim for short. Scholars call it the Basmalah. You will find it in every single surah except for Surah Bara'ah or Surah Tawbah. And the scholars, they discuss, is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim actually a verse in the Quran? Is it not a verse? And it's just there just to separate between chapters? Also, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, is it part of the chapter itself and you add it, or is it not? And there is a lot of kalam, and the scholars have discussed this. Suffice it to say that the strongest opinion is that definitely Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is an ayah in the Quran. It is a verse in the Quran, and many scholars have said it is its own verse. It is mustaqil, ayatun mustaqillah. It is a verse that is standing on its own and it is there to separate between the chapters. So it is a verse, it is an ayah. You get the reward of reciting the Quran, but it is there to separate between the surahs, the chapters. It is not part of the chapter, except for Surah Al-Fatiha, which the scholars differ over, and many have said that it's part of it, and also the verse in Surah Namla, إِنَّهُ مِنْ سُلَيْمَانَ وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. And Allah knows best. طيب. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلِفْ لَمْ مِيمْ. And whenever we come across these letters, أَلِفْ لَمْ مِيمْ, the tafsir, the explanation of these letters is Allahu a'lamu bi muradih. Allah knows best what they mean. Allah knows what they mean. Now, last week when I was talking about our methodology of tafsir, I said that one of the first places you go to understand the Quran is the Quran itself. If not, then the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because Allah says in the Quran, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. O Muhammad, we have sent upon you the Quran so that you can clarify to the people what has been revealed to them. So we have no such clarification from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no narration from the Prophet telling us Alif Lam Mim means this, this, or this. No such thing. So if we do not have tafsir from the Prophet explaining to us what these terms mean, remember I said among the ways you understand the Quran is you refer back to the Arabic language. In the Arabic language, letters by themselves, without any haraka, alif, lam, mim, they do not carry any known meaning in the Arabic language. So that didn't help either. So then the scholars of tafsir had to understand what these terms meant, and they all, or most of them, there are some people that made some attempts, but they don't have any evidence to back their attempts, whether it means this or that, or it is referring to something. But the correct opinion is that Allah knows what they mean. Now, does that mean they have no use? No, they definitely have a use. And the huruf al-muqatta'a, these letters that come in the beginning of surahs, they are mentioned 29 times in the Quran, or 29 chapters in the Quran have these huruf. And sometimes they come in one letters, like noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun, or qaf wal Quran al-majid, saad wal Quran al-dhikr. One letter, noon, qaf, saad. They come in two letters, hamim, yasin, taha. They come in three letters, alif, lam, mim, Taasin Mim. They also come in four letters, Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ayn, Saad, and of course, Ha, Mim, Ayn, Sin, Qaf. Tayyib. I'm sorry, those are five letters. They also come in four letters: Alif Lam Mim Sad in Surah Al-A'raf, and Alif Lam Mim Ra in Ra'ad and the likes. So it comes in different numbers. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. What do they mean? I said, Allahu A'lam, Allah knows best. But the scholars, they said there are a lot of benefits in these letters. And another thing that has been noted is every time Allah does use these letters, it is followed up by a mentioning of the Quran. Qaf wal Quran al Majid. Saad wal Quran al Dhikr. Alif Lam Mim, thalika al Kitab, that book. Taha ma anzalna ilayka al Quran. So whenever these letters are mentioned, the Quran is talked about. So what are some of the benefits of this? Now, as we all know, when our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him, would recite the Quran upon Quraysh, the tribe of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Mecca, they didn't like that. And they would try anything they could to stop the Prophet from reciting the Quran. And from the things they would do was, they would say, like Allah says in Surah Fussilat, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَالْغَوْ فِيهِ. So they would say, Allah says in the Quran that the disbelievers would say, do not listen to this Quran. In fact, drown it out with noise. So whenever the Prophet would try to recite Quran, they would drown it out with noise. They would whistle and clap and play and make noises just so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not be able to recite, or so that they would not be able to hear. Now, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then would say, for example, Alif Lam Mim or Ha Mim, this is something they've never heard of. These people were experts in the Arabic language. They were poets, and they were people that loved poetry, and they would boast over their usage of the language and over their comprehension, etc. So then when they hear Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying Ha Mim, they would be like, wait, what? So this would grab their attention. That's why the scholars of the tafsir said, لِتَّنْبِيهِ, to grab their attention. And that would happen. And then after that, Allah will talk about ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ وَلَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. طيب. So why would it grab their attention? Like the Arabs say, كُلُّ جَدِيدٍ لَهُ لَذَّةٍ. When something is new, something you haven't heard of, you're curious, you want to hear more. So this is one of the reasons why the حروف المقطع are used. Other scholars have mentioned other reasons as well, such as للتعجيز, to challenge, to challenge. And this was because هذا القرآن, this book, this Quran, it consists of هذه الحروف, these letters. This Quran consists of these letters, Alif, Lam, Mim, and Ha, Mim, and Ayn, Sin, Qaf. These letters that you guys all know is what the Quran consists of. Yet, you guys cannot bring even one chapter similar to it. So it's almost like the challenge of, these are the letters that the Quran consists of. Here they are. Why don't you bring one like it? And we all know, especially in some of the beginning chapters of Surah Al-Baqarah, when we get there, beginning verses, the second page, taqriban, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pose this challenge. And in the Quran, you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poses a challenge to the disbelievers. If you believe that this Quran is something that anyone can make up, then bring something like it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first says, لَنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنُ وَعَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. Even if the jinn and humankind would come together to produce something like the Quran, they would not be able to do so. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easier and said, فَأْتُوا بِعَشْرِ سُوَرٍ. Bring 10 chapters. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it even easier. You will come in Surah Al-Baqarah when Allah says, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ. Bring one chapter like it. Even if it's the smallest one, إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ, three verses. Can you produce something like the Quran in its beauty, in its beauty, in its melody, in its rulings, in its wisdom, in its precision? No one can do that. Why? Because it comes from Allah Almighty. So these are the two reasons. What I want you to know is Alif Lam Mim and any other verses similar to it, like Hamim and Taha and Yasin and Saad, that whenever you want to learn its tafsir, what is the reason? What does it mean? Allahu A'lam, Allah knows. What are some of the benefits of this? At-tanbih wa ta'jeez. At-tanbih, to grab their attention. Right? When they hear this and they haven't heard it before, it would grab the attention of Quraysh. And also lit-ta'jeez, to remind them, it is these letters that the Quran consists of, yet can you produce anything like it? And the answer is no. ولن تفعلوا. طيب. So, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, especially merciful to the believers. Alif Lam Mim. Allah knows their meaning. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. ذلك الكتاب. That is the book. Now, a lot of books of tafsir and translation will say this instead of that. This in Arabic word is هذا. That الإشارة للبعيد is ذلك. We want to say that. That over there. It signifies that what is being talked about or pointed towards or mentioned is far away. ذلك الكتاب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that is the book. لا ريب فيه, in which there is no doubt. هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, it is a guidance to those who have taqwa. So why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say ذَلِكَ and not say هَذَا? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak about the book as if it is far away? Now one of the reasons, إخواني وأخواتي في الله, is that ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ, that is the book, it shows that it is elevated, high, up there, which is why we require to say ذَلِكَ, to show how honored and how high how elevated this book is. Another reason, ikhwani fillah, is that when the Quran was being recited, this verse, the Quran wasn't collated and collected, so there was no particular book. So what book is it referring to? It's referring to the book that is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, there is no doubt in it. Al-Muhim, the Quran, there is no doubt in it. That is the book in which there is no doubt. لا ريب فيه. إخواني في الله, when we say لا ريب فيه, there is no doubt in it, it means two things. لا ريب فيه أنه من رب العالمين, there is no doubt that this Quran is from Allah Almighty. Right? This is the book, or that is the book in which there is no doubt, which is, there's no doubt that it is from Allah Almighty. Because if it was from a human being, you would find it in many contradictions. وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. If it was from other than Allah, you would surely find in it many contradictions, which there isn't any. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of its predictions, its prophecies, its wisdom, its perfection. It is from Allah and there is no doubt. Also, إخواني في الله, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, this book, there is no doubt in it. Meaning what? The commandments and the statements are in this book are all perfect. Like Allah says in the Quran, وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا, and the word of your Lord has been perfected. وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ, the words of your Lord, the Quran has been perfected. صِدْقًا, in truth, وَعَدْلًا, in justice. Truth in its statements and just in its rulings. Just as rulings and truthful in his statements. So the Quran is all truth. There is no doubt in it. ذلك الكتاب, that is the book. لا ريب فيه, in which there is no doubt. There is no doubt it's from Allah. There is no doubt in it. It's all true. هُدًى, it is a guidance. للمتقين, to those who have taqwa. إخواني في الله, taqwa, the متقين, those who have taqwa, are the pious people. Those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hope in Allah's mercy. Those who obey. Those who obey. And remember that overarching theme of this surah is one of obedience. So, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the descriptions and qualities of those who obey. Also, ikhwani fillah, since this Quran is a guidance, do you want to know what that guidance is? Do you want to know more detail about that guidance? Iqra hadhihi surah. Read the surah. And in it, you will find the guidance that you need. The answers that you're looking for. فيه هدن. لا ريب فيه, there's no doubt in it. Read and you will find most definitely that there's no doubt in it. Alif Lam Mim, Allah knows what it means. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدن للمتقين. That is the book, the Quran, in which there is no doubt, a guidance to those who have taqwa. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the people of taqwa, the people who accept this guidance. Who are they? Remember earlier I mentioned that the Quran, I mean that Surah Al-Baqarah will discuss three categories of people: those who accept the guidance and obey, those who disobey, which were two categories, the disbelievers that outright disobeyed, and the hypocrites who claimed to be believers but actually were not. In the following verses, Allah will first tell us about the qualities of the believers, then the qualities of the disbelievers, then the qualities of the hypocrites. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts in this verse, the third verse, about who the believers are. Allah says, أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. They are those who believe in the ghayb. They believe in the unseen. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. And they establish the prayer. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And they spend out of that which we have provided for them. Here Allah mentioned three qualities. Number one, أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. They are those who believe in the unseen. إخواني في الله, this is one of the characters of the believers. They believe in Allah, they have not seen Allah. They believe in Jannah and Nar, they have not seen Jannah or Nar. They believe in the hereafter, they have not seen the hereafter. They believe in the angels and they have not seen the angels. They believe although they have not seen. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Allah praises the believers and mentions that their first quality is that they believe in the unseen. I want to share with you a hadith, and this hadith is mentioned in Mustadrak al-Hakim, and many scholars have authenticated, including Albani, who mentioned that it is Hassan, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he asked the companions a question. He said, "Man a'jabu al-khalqi imanan?" Who has the most amazing iman from Allah's creation? And then the companion, so the Prophet is asking the companions, who do you think has the most amazing iman from amongst his creation? أَعْجَبُ الْخَلْقِ إِمَانًا. And then they said, when the Prophet asked them, they said, الْمَلَائِكَ, the angels. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ وَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. And why would they not believe? Why would the angels not believe and they are with their Lord? Angels are with their Lord. Why would they not believe? And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِهِ وَيُسَبِّحُونَهُ وَلَهُ يَسْجُدُونَ. When Allah was talking about the angels, Allah said, they obey him and they believe in him and they glorify him and they prostrate to him. These are the angels. Of course they would believe. Why wouldn't they when they are with their Lord? Then the companion said that they are al-anbiya, the prophets. And the Prophet ﷺ said, and similar, he said, وَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And why would they not believe when they are receiving revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then the companion said, is it us, the Sahaba? Then the Prophet said, وَمَا لَكُمْ لَتُؤْمِنُونَ وَأَنَا بَيْنَ أَظْهُرُكُمْ. Why would you not believe? And I am here with you. You met me. You met the Prophet of Allah. And then the Prophet described the people that have the most amazing faith. And they said, they are the people who received suhufan. They received a message, a letter, a book, and they believed what was in it, never having met the Prophet or the unseen. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those that the Prophet was talking about in that narration, those whom Allah talked about in the Quran, and they say, رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا بِمَا أَنزَلْتِ وَاتَّبَعْنَا الرَّسُولِ فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّهِدِينَ. Oh my Lord, Lord, آمَنَّا بِمَا أَنزَلْتِ. We believe in that which you have revealed. وَاتَّبَعْنَا الرَّسُولِ. And we have followed the messenger. فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّهِدِينَ. Oh Allah, write us among those who witness the truth. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma ja'alna minhum. طيب. So there is so much virtue in believing in the unseen. And as believers, we must believe in the unseen. If you deny the jinn or the angels, you're not a believer. You have to believe. That which is mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah, you must believe. This is the character of the Muslim. The character of those who accept the guidance and obey is what? يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. And then Allah said, وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. And they perform or establish the prayer. إخواني في الله, Allah did not say وَيُصَلُّونَ. And they pray. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. And there is more meaning in إِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةَ than there is in الصَّلَاةَ or أَن تُصَلِّي. To establish the prayer. The scholars of Tafsir said this means أن تأتي بأركانها وواجباتها وفروضها وسننها ومستحباتها وهيئاتها. That you do all of the things included in the salah. You do the pillars, everything in the salah. You won't leave something off just because it's sunnah. You establish the prayer and pray like the Prophet prayed. Like he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي. I teach a fiqh class, and a lot of times we are discussing in the fiqh class, and at the moment I'm doing the fiqh of the prayer, we discuss Okay, so this is, what are some of the actions in the salah that if you leave off, your salah is still valid? And what are the actions that if you leave off, your salah breaks? And then we also discuss some of the actions in the salah that you leave off purposely. Does your salah break? For example, let's say you purposely didn't say Rabbi ghfirli in between the sujoods. Does that break your salah? And the answer is no, it doesn't break your salah. It's among the hayat or the sunan. It is among the recommended act in the salah. Now, that being said, I always repeat this in my class as well. When we're learning the do's and don'ts and the details of the salah and what breaks it and what doesn't break and what invalidates it and what if, we're learning about fiqh here, the rulings. But when it comes to our actual salah, we shouldn't be looking at those things. We should pray in the best way possible. Like Allah says, الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ صَلَاةً, they establish the prayer. Don't do everything. Don't leave off the salat ala nabi in your tahiyat. Don't leave off the dua towards the end. Do everything in your salah. Pray like the Prophet prayed. This has the most reward in it, and this will be more likely that you are part of those who accept the guidance. They establish the prayer. Again, out of all the acts of worship mentioned, Allah started with the prayer, highlighting its importance. طيب. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in the unseen. وَيُقِيمُونَ صَلَاةً, and they establish the prayer. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and they spend from that which we have given them, Allah said. They spend from that which we have provided for them. Subhanallah. Again, among the characters of the believers and those who accept the guidance from Allah is that they spend from that which Allah has given them. First, Allah reminds us here that whatever you own, Allah gave you. Whatever you own, Allah gave you. This is why Allah did not use the word kasaba, what you've earned. وَمِمَّا كَسَبْتُمْ تُنْفِقُونَ. No, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ, from that which we have given them, provided for them, because in everything that we have is a provision and a risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. إخواني في الله, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ, استغفر الله, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ. Then Allah gives another quality of the believers. They are those who believe. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ, those who believe in what? بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ, in that which have been revealed upon you, O Muhammad. What was revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Al-wahyu, revelation. They believe in all that has been revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the tafsirs they mentioned, they say it is the Quran, which is correct, but that's not the only thing. At-ta'bir al-awla huwa al-wahyu. It is better to say it is all revelation, because even the sunnah is revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Allah mentioned in many places in the Quran, that Allah reveals upon the Prophet the Quran, wal-hikmah, and the sunnah. طيب. So, what are the characters of the believers? Verse number 3 said, they are those who believe in the unseen, establish the prayer, and spend from that which we have given them. And that spending could be charity, the zakat, it could be sadaqah, it could even be something that is not necessarily related to money. They also spend, that includes those who teach the deen. Allah has provided them with the knowledge and they propagate that knowledge. Allah give you wealth, you give that wealth to those who are in need. And here what's interesting is also Allah did not mention who is being given to. They give from that which you spent. Give it to who? If you want to learn who is being given to, you have to read the surah and you will find more detail. I mentioned in my last week's tafsir that the ayat sometimes will generalize something and you will find more details in another verse. And as we go along the surah, you will find out who you should be spending on. Like Allah says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ قُلْ مَا أَنْفَقْتُ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ وَالْيَتَامَ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. It is for who? It's for your parents. It is for the poor, for the orphans, for those in need, etc., etc. So Allah will give you more details as you go along. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 4, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ. They are those who believe in that which have been revealed to you, the Quran and the Sunnah. وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِن قَبْلِكَ, and that which has been revealed before you, O Muhammad, which is what? They believe in the Torah of Musa, and the Injil of Isa. They believe in the Suhuf of Ibrahim, and the Suhuf of Musa, and the Zabur of Dawood. They believe in all the books that have been revealed, all the scriptures that have been revealed, whether they are named or don't named. Right? Like we said, آمَنَ رَسُولِ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ. They believe in that which has been revealed upon you, O Muhammad, and that which has been revealed before you. مِنْ قَبْلِكَ, before you. وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ, and they believe in the hereafter. Allah
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and they believe in the day of resurrection with certainty. Yuqinun comes from the yaqeen, which is to believe with certainty. So they are certain in their belief in the hereafter. Again, among the qualities and the character of the believers is what? That they believe in the hereafter. So how many qualities did Allah give us here? Let's count them. Who are those who accepted the guidance and gained salvation? They are those who believe in the unseen. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Number one, they believe in the unseen. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. They establish the prayer. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. They spend from that which Allah has given them. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ. And they believe in that which has been revealed to you, O Muhammad. وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِن قَبْلِكَ. And they believe in that which has been revealed before you, meaning the previous scriptures. وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. And they believe in the hereafter with certainty. Those are the six characteristics that I mentioned here regarding the believers. Those that have the character trait of those who obey and believe and accept the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what do they get in return after all of this? Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they are upon guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُولَٰئِكَ. They are عَلَىٰ هُدًى. أُولَٰئِكَ أَيْ الْمُوصُفُونَ بِهَذِهِ الصِّفَاتِ. Those who have these qualities and these descriptions are عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. They are upon guidance from their Lord. وَأُولَٰئِكَ. And they are هُمْ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Those who are successful. Indeed, they and only they are the ones who are successful. So, ikhwani fillah, from here we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised us true success if we embody these qualities. Your belief in the unseen, the establishing of the prayer, the giving of charity, and of course, the believing in the Quran and the Sunnah and in the previous scriptures. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us here, ikhwani fillah, that they are the successful. I'm going to conclude my lesson here. What does it mean to be successful? If you want to learn what true success is, what are the pillars and the keys to success, I urge you to read Surah Al-Asr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ. Allah says, by the time, indeed mankind is in loss, except إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Those who have faith, iman, and do righteous actions, and they recommend each other the truth, and they recommend each other patience. These four characteristics will make you among the successors if you do. But what is true success? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Imran, فَمَنْ زُحْسِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whoever is removed away from the fire and enters into paradise has indeed become successful. So, that's success, my brothers and sisters. To be saved from hellfire and to enter into Jannah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who are successful. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our good deeds from us and to make us of those that receive the guidance and obey. I'm going to stop here, inshallah ta'ala. We carry on next week, starting from the sixth verse. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ هَذَا وَأَخْرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.